this morning. There was 2 weeks ago, we're at this scene. It's still on the journey of Peter. This isn't a major on Peter, he's just part of the crowd. But I'll take a look at John chapter 20, reading for verse 19. I'm going to read it through, and then we'll say a few things. And this might be slightly more prophetic than I'm used to, bringing a little bit of a challenge at the end. This morning, it's about the ministry of Holy Spirit. If we looked at us a few weeks ago, we spoke about the Word of God. We spoke about Jesus revealing himself. We spoke, I sang this morning about his scars, that the revelation of the cross. And as I was out praying this morning, I wasn't just out praying, I was walking my dog, and I was praying while walking my dog, in case people think he's really, really spiritual. I've got a dog in heat that needs whacked, and I have to avoid every other dog and dog owner, especially Gary's. Gary's dog and my dog want to be boyfriend and girlfriend, but I'm just not ready for that, Winston. So I have to avoid, sorry, Gary, if you think I'm ignoring you, I'm just like, well, for a few weeks anyway. And so while I'm walking the dog, it's a good time to pray. And the forecast this morning was for rain showers. So when I got up, the sun was still shining. But yet I put on a rain jacket, knowing that the forecast was pretty deliberate, it's gone to rain. So I'm walking, and I got to the harbour after avoiding every other dog owner with their dog. And then the sun was still shining, and yet in for the sea, you just seen this torrential rain coming. It's a beautiful sight to see when you just see it coming in for the coast. And as I was standing there praying, I thought, God, I have enough faith in the forecast to stand here with a rain jacket on in the sunshine, because I can that the rain is coming, and lo and behold, here it comes, and I stood there and got drenched. And yet my prayer was this: God, I have enough faith in the forecast, but I believe the day your forecast is good, and it's good for the church. That as we meet as a church of the living God, that you would come with your spiritual power and spiritual rain, and we just need to get ready to embrace that God wants to be in our lives through the Holy Spirit. So my prayer this morning is, church, let's be ready for God to move in power. And maybe you're here this morning and this is all new to you. We want to take you on a little bit of a journey with the Word of God. Let me read this. This is after the resurrection. The disciples, Peter gets a bad rap for denying the Lord Jesus. It is very poignant part at the crucifixion, but every disciple was scattered. And so this is straight after the resurrection. Some of them have heard that Jesus is alive, yet they find themselves in a place of fear, a place of restriction. Has anybody ever been there? They are scared. They're lacking peace. They've maybe heard that Jesus is alive, but some of them in that point have not yet encountered him. And Jesus wants to come into their lives to do something significant, because in about 50 days' time, in the day of Pentecost, he needs them in the upper room. And I believe that God wants to empower his people so that we would move with the Holy Spirit. That we wouldn't be like a church that is scared. There's a lot to be scared about. We wouldn't lack peace. Wouldn't come under the spirit of fear. But through the ministry of the blood, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, we would see a fearless church rise up like an end-time church, ready for the harvest, being bold for Jesus. This is what the Bible said in John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut. Have you ever felt closed in? The doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled. Nothing that the disciples could say to each other could have got them out or that doors being shut with a spirit of fear, for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in the midst. Jesus, as we sang this morning, stands in the midst of your fear. He stands in the midst of your doubt. And as you are isolating yourself, shutting off doors, thinking that will protect you for the world, Jesus stands in the midst. For I'm grateful that they have got a Christ fucking stand in the midst of their problems, or their addictions, or their sufferings, that he's acquainted with grief. I want to tell you, if Jesus retracted every time I got scared, retracted every time I got disappointed, or being about faithless and destitute, or being bound by sin, if Jesus retracted himself at that point, there'd be no hope for me, and there'd be no hope for you. But Jesus is so amazing, his love is so sure and strong, and he's so powerful that he can walk through closed doors to stand in the midst of your life, with all your trials and all your suffering and all your fears and all your self-doubt, and said to them, we spoke about this 2 weeks ago, peace be with you, shalom. It wasn't just some nice introduction. He was saying, this is what you need. I'm here to speak. And when Jesus speaks, it's like a double-edged sword that does something in your life. Peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. He was revealing to them, I am who I said I am. I was going to come back. I'm not just a ghost. I've been through the crucifixion. This is the day of a new covenant. As Luke shared at the start, the banquet is ready. He was saying, I have bought the price of your salvation by my blood as I said that I would. No longer will the hifter slay lambs and goats and bulls for forgiveness or sins before the veil. But Jesus showed them, hey, I'm in your midst. Look at the scars in my hands. Look at the crown of thorns. This is a day of a new covenant. Praise the Lord. In the midst of our fears, we are under a new covenant that God shows up and reminds us who he is and the price that he paid. Jesus gave everything for you at the cross. Everything. The pain, the suffering, the shed blood. How much more having given everything for you at the cross is he want to stand with you in this life? If he gave everything in history, how much more is he willing? Come on. I'll stand with you at your worst. I gave everything. My precious blood on the cross. Now I'm here. Look, here's the proof. I'm with you. He's with you, David. He's with you, Gilbert. He's with you, Alson. He's with you in the midst of this life, surrounded by everything that surrounds us. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. This was the Ruach of God. And Jesus has got fresh breath. He breathed on them. So significant. And said, receive the Holy Spirit. The Ruach of God. This is the only account in the Gospels that Jesus ever breathed on anybody. And I know that Jesus is here today to breathe on us afresh. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. It was a gift. And it was a big, big deal. Jesus majored on this all through, especially the book of John. In John 16:13, Jesus said these words, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. John 15:26-27 says, I will send to you the helper, the Holy Spirit. It's plain language. You can't miss it. Jesus says, it's better for you that I go and be with the Father. When I go and be with the Father, I will send to you Holy Spirit, I will breathe on you. Holy Spirit, you will become a new creation. In John 7, verses 37 to 39, the day of the festival, Jesus shows up and he takes a pulpit and in a loud voice he says, look, if anybody comes and thirsts after me, believes in me, faith within them, there will be rivers of living water. And then it says that at that point he spoke about once he was glorified, he would send the Holy Spirit to all, not to some, not to a select few, but to all that would believe. He would breathe on them the Holy Spirit. These disciples are scared. They're afraid. Jesus gives them the word. Jesus shows them the scars. And then he gives them the Holy Spirit. Jesus wants us to know this morning that he's got a power for us that will burst the church out of simple strategies, or simple agendas, and he wants us to move with the power of the Holy Spirit. And these disciples that were so afraid, I wonder how they felt when they felt the fresh breath of Jesus enter in to them. And maybe this week you've been struggling to breathe with some restrictions physically, but I believe spiritually that Jesus wants to breathe on his church afresh the power of Holy Spirit in our lives. The other time that it says that God breathed upon a person was right back at the start, when we were made for the dust. After God made everything through the power of his word, when he came to mark Adam, who was just dust. And then it says that God, the Ruach of God, he breathed upon this dust, and then up sprung Adam, a living being. And I wonder if Jesus is saying here that without the breath of God in your life, it's just like dust. It's a mirror image of God breathing life into Adam, him becoming alive. And here we see Jesus. Before Jesus breathed into the disciples, their ministry was just like dust. You can't fit dust is. It's a feeling of death. You see the dust in your house? Right? It used to be a living cell, part of your body. And then through the process of time, it died and became dust, and then you have to get Mr. Sheen out and clean away all your dead cells. That's really gross, isn't it? Before the breath of God at creation, humanity was just dust. Before Jesus breathed the life of God into the disciples, yes, Jesus allowed Peter to walk on water. Yes, he allowed him to see resurrection power. But they still, at the point of the crucifixion, were so scared that they are when they're unwise. God is looking for a church that has now got the stench of dust and of death. But he's looking for a church that will be full of the Ruach of God, full of the Holy Spirit, bringing life, bringing love, and bringing hope to everything that we touch. Amen? Breathe in us, oh God. Breathe in us so fresh. Your breath is mighty. Your breath is glorious. And out with the breath, oh God, as the church has got is deadness and dust. Yes, we dear. Goodwill programs. Yes, we will always help people in need. But Jesus majored on this. One day, my people will be filled of Holy Spirit. That he would take people like us, and it's great to be in a company like us, that there's both young and old, and in between, there's visitors, and there's members, there's church leaders. But for every single one of us, my prayer is this: breathe on us, oh God. I am hungry and thirsty to see a move, a Holy Spirit in the land of the living. Not just that we go to Kirk and do decent things, but we are recipients of Holy Spirit, the power of God that will cause believers to walk away from shut doors, to come out from under the spirit of fear, and to declare there is now no condemnation for those that are found in Christ Jesus. That the anthems that we sing about Christ being the name above all names, Jesus for our families, Jesus for our communities, Jesus for our nations, Jesus for the bound, for the sick, for the trodden, Jesus for the worst sinner in this community, that wouldn't just be a song that we sang on a Sunday, but be an attitude or heart that we would go, fae here, and there's a difference. Go fae here with the breath of God, announcing like a trumpet the day of good news, that Jesus is alive, he's coming again, believe in him, repent for your sins, and you will find the Ruach of God for all who believe. The very Zoe life of God, the full life, the life you've maybe been searching for and trying to find it in different things, the only life that satisfies. And I'm preaching to me this morning, because even as a church leader, it's easier to do than to be. It's easier to keep doing if it's already planned in the church program. But Jesus didn't just say, go and do some stuff. He breathed on them a fresh breath. Receive the Holy Spirit. And then he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's position ourselves to receive. If you ever want inspired, I'll maybe show us some of us during prayer meeting in time. And it's really well documented, the Hebridean revival. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think only recently one of the last survivors for that time went with the Lord. Before that, they made videos of the revival. They're freely available on YouTube. If you want anything to inspire you about the Ruach, the breath, the glory of Holy Spirit invading a town, you search up these testimonies and you will hear story upon story upon story of the glory of God invading a community. Up until that point, the ministry looked like dust. They had seen revivals in the past, so they was moralistically attuned to fit religion and fit the Bible would say about certain things. But at that time that the last revival came, there was not one single young person that attended church fellowship on a Sunday. Yet there was two believers. One was blind, yet they prayed on a Tuesday and on a Thursday from 10 o'clock at night to 4 in the morning. That God would visit the Hebrides. That was their prayer. And they said, God, you are a covenant-making God. You have promised that if we would turn from our wicked ways, that if we would seek your face and humble yourself, then you would come and heal our land. There was over Eyal Yeral. Don't ever think you're too old to be used by God. They prayed and prayed and prayed. And they seen a vision of a man that they'd never met turn up on the island, Duncan Campbell. And then he turned up and they said, this is who you've been waiting for. The first service, I felt like this before, absolutely nothing happened. They're all expecting God to move, revival. This is the guy we've seen in my vision. Nothing happened. And then a man stood up that was a prayer partner of these two ladies and said, hold on, God. You are a covenant-keeping God. You said that if we would turn from our wicked ways, seek your face and humble ourselves, that you would come and heal our land. But this is not what we're seeing. It says that the church shook. It was like a light had dawned. And people, the atmosphere of the islands changed. And they started queuing at the doors supernaturally to come into a service. There was no Facebook. They didn't advertise it. It wasn't in front and center of social media. This was the Ruach of God breathing upon his people. It says at the police station, for some reason, 400 people showed up at the police station repenting of behaviors. Far lived next door to the police station, one of the old ladies, because God decided to breathe life in a community of unbelief through a few people that would contend for it, take God at his word. There's more than two old ladies here, and God's not interested in numbers. But if he can do it with two old ladies, one of them being blind, then I'm confident in the Church of Jesus Christ that if we would seek a Ruach of God, not just to do kirk stuff, but to say, Jesus, through grace, receive, position ourselves, the Holy Spirit, then we would see God move in power. Fuzz up for seeing God move. Like, I'm not going to ask you to sign on the dotted line here, but do you need, just something needs just come within you, just say, wow, God is real. He is majestic. He can do a lot of things with a few people. If we wouldn't approach this book as something like, I'll just read it and try and do if it says. No. You go to Jesus and he empowers you for life and for godliness. Partakers of the very life of Jesus. The other time that it says that God breathed upon people, it was in a vision that Ezekiel got. God says, what do you see? He says, there's a valley full of dry bones. And God said to Ezekiel, do you think these dry bones can live again? This was a good response. He says, well, I'm not too sure. You alone know the answer to that, God. And God says, prophesy to them. They started to prophesy to these dry bones. And it says, like a wind from the north, from the west, to the east, to the south, came into that dry bones. And there was a rattling and a joining together. Flesh came on the dry bones. And God caused them to live again. That inspires me to deal with Ruach of God. While the church embrace Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's not a doctrine. He's not a theology. It's not like we're Pentecostal, so we have got the right theology. He's a person. He's God. He wants us to embrace the filling or the very life of God himself, that we would be Jesus' hands and feet. He came for changed after the resurrection and the ascension. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. It was his body. The body that he used to do miracles in that 33 years was of flesh. Now he's got a spiritual body. Look to the left, look to the right. That's Jesus' spiritual body. And he moves through the Holy Spirit, through people like you and people like me, to do the work that he did when he walked this earth with the dust. And God's raising up an army. Do you hear the rattling? Do you hear the joining out that Jesus' body is becoming alive to the things of the Spirit, that would be an army of the living God that would march to his tune? I said that this was got to be slightly more prophetic. When I was praying about this, I felt the Holy Spirit say this to me. And if you've been here every week, I didn't say this casually. It's not something I would normally say. But I believe that the opportunity is here to be moved with the breath of God. To receive what the disciples got, an infilling that would push the church out. They got a prequel to Pentecost. If God didn't empower them then Pentecost for Abdi wouldn't have come. And so they got a little prequel, a little seal of approval of it being filled with the Holy Spirit would be. And then they became unscared, out with shut doors. God wants to break the church out of being closed in and just following a religious structure. He wants us to be moved by Holy Spirit. But the option is this: we can put up a sail or a windbreak. A sailing boat uses a sail to go with the wind. And really, the sailing boat's under the mercy. Wherever the wind blows, it will go. Unless it's a sailing boat with an engine that I think slightly cheating, right? But wherever the wind blows, it goes. I pray for a day for us as a church, nobody excluded, that we'd be moved by the divine Holy Spirit. We'll be full of the life of Jesus and wouldn't be led by our own agendas or unctions, but biblically it says those who are led by the Holy Spirit. That as we'd be praying for people, God would put people on our heart that we'd either meet through that day and would share the gospel with, or again, we'd have to reach out to them by a phone call or a visit because they need to hear a brother or a sister in Christ or hope that day, led by the Spirit. Or we could put up a windbreak. Now, we haven't reached the glorious broch sunshine that we dream of yet. But I've been enough visits to the beach to ken this. A windbreak's very handy, is that right? Because there's usually a gentle breeze. And when there's a gentle breeze, you get your cheese sandwich, you get your, Ken, if it's really good, getting wraps for Lidl's. You see that wraps? And then you take your own ingredients, doing cheese, chicken, some vegetables, and making your own wrap on the beach. You should try it. It's really, really handy. But what's annoying about that is if you've got your ingredients out and you've got a windbreak and a breeze comes, it's really annoying. Why is it really annoying? Because you end up with a sand wedge. And the wind comes, and you end up with a sandwich. Your traveling rug goes, whoosh, our thing goes, and it spoils the atmosphere. So what a windbreak does is this. It stops the wind so that your environment is controlled. We stop the wind so that our environment is controlled. For now, I'm speaking about the Ruach of God. Often we'll go so far and then put a windbreak up. That's far enough, God. I like to control my environment. In the history of revivals, you can go and listen to this yourself. One of the witnesses said this: what changed was when the Holy Spirit came was how they seen entertainment, especially the young people. Entertainment for them had nothing to do with God. They had their entertainment time, the pubs, the clubs, the relationships. They was invested in these things. But when the Ruach of God came, they led do not And suddenly, if it became entertaining, it was prayer meetings, it was worship, it was dancing before the Lord, it was turning up for church, the young people worshiping new songs. That God changed their life through the Ruach of God. The things that they found entertaining before could no longer be entertaining then when God was entertaining them. But sometimes we put a windbreak up and say, God, I'll let you hear, if you can hear my church services and you can hear my ministry. But are some things in my life that I really find entertaining that's got nothing to do with God? And I want the wind to blow as long as you do not interfere with other things that I'm about. It's a prophetic call. You decide, will you put the windbreak up and say, I want enough of Jesus to be saved and hear good services, but that's far enough. I mean, if he adds the numbers to the church, spot on. Or will you put a sail up and say, Jesus, invade me. We sing, blow through the caverns of my soul. That's every single area is open and available to Jesus Christ. If he wants to take my life in a new direction, it looks incredibly different if I have to switch off the TV and get caught up in heavenly worship while the angels are singing. Are you still willing for God to invade you? Or have we still got a windbreak mentality? I want good services, but just not everything, Jesus. And I believe that God wants a people that will put a sail up. And it doesn't bother me whether this is your first morning here and this is the first time you've heard this crazy guy speak about things like this. The opportunity is there if it's your first time and if you're a church leader. Will we put the sail up and say, breathe on us, O God. Breathe on us afresh. Whether it costs us little or a lot, breathe on us that the church of the living God wouldn't it be a picture of being shut off in a closed community that are scared because it's the last days. But we would move with the very life of the Holy Spirit. That he would breathe fresh life into the dust. That we would hear in the spirit the rattling together of bones. The coming together of flesh and God raising up an end time army that is fearless, that is bold, that is full of the word, that is full of the fire. That will go to the highways, that will go to the byways, that will go to the drug addict. And they'll also go to the doctor. They will go to them that are in debt, but also to the bank manager. For once, to be led by the Ruach of God, to put their sail up and say, come what may, visit us, O God. Let's invite the worship team up. Receive, Holy Spirit. Close our eyes for a moment. Because this is a challenge, and this might be deeply personal, I'm going to pray, and so that no ego is involved, and we'll let our agendas down. If you want me just to include you in a prayer for receiving the Ruach of God, then you, while every head is bowed and eye closed, you put your hand in the air and I'll see you. I can see out hands, thank you, thank you, thank you. I see out hands. Just take them doing. This is just a response to God that you're saying enough's enough. A snare that we've been bound in sand, but the winds of change welcome upon the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus, you see your church. You see them that have responded and says, God, I'm putting my sail in the air. For some of us, we've put our sails in the air before, and then we've turned into a windbreak, and then we've turned into a sail, and then we've turned into a windbreak. But Jesus, we declare that the day of cycles is gone in Jesus' name. That this fellowship was birthed in a move of God to go with the wind of the Holy Spirit, nay, with the wind of flesh getting caught up in the things of man, but of the wind, the Ruach of God. And I pray for each individual here that has responded. Fresh wind blow. Fresh empowerment come. That they would feel the intenseness of the life of Jesus. That would bring transformation and change for the furtherance of the gospel of the kingdom of Christ. That we wouldn't leave here saying, that was a nice meeting, then be unchanged before next Sunday. That the wind would blow. It would be consistent. It would be powerful. It would be strong. And it would blow away all the dust, all the cobwebs, all the self-doubt. And God, as it was fear that restricted the disciples, I come against the spirit of fear in Jesus' name, that comes against the church of the living God and causes us to restrict. We are not scared of humanism. We are not scared of the spirit of Islam. We are not scared of the spirit of legalism. We have been empowered that we would be a shining light in communities of faith is to overcome this world by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And we pray an empowerment for the Most High God that would cause Christians to overcome their darkest fears and the darkest spirits. For you are a spirit of life, of peace, of joy, of love. And you have not given your church a spirit of fear. But you've given us a sound mind and of peace and of boldness. Do what only you can do in Jesus' name. And all God's army said, and all God's army said, amen. Let's stand to our feet. Let's worship Jesus. We've got to take up our tithes and offerings. If you've not come prepared to give, that's okay. Breath of God, come. Breathe in us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.